Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, I've been alarmed! It's time for Must Have Seen TV, the podcast dedicated to the sitcoms of the 20th century, from I Love Lucy to News Radio, or maybe this week I should say The Beatles to Oasis. That's music, but whatever. I'm your TV guide, Brett White, and I'm also a reporter producer for Decider.com. This is episode 106, and we're still in quarantine, but by the time this episode goes up, I will have had my second shot, so maybe I'm standing right behind you right now. This week I am joined by Adam Bozarth.
Hello.
And Anna Rubinova.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome Hi. Back. The last time that we talked was when we talked about Who's the Boss a year ago.
Yes.
We have definitely not
true.
Seen each other via screens since then.
Yes. Mm. Yes, I think that's true. We have not. Wait. What have we been doing?
Well, you've been doing a lot of podcasting.
Yeah, we've been doing left-handed radio a lot. You appeared on.
You heard of it?
You've heard. He has heard of it, and he was on it.
I was on it. I went to LA to pitch a cartoon.
Yeah.
Let's. Okay, that's it. We're just going to talk about that LA trip now. Just kidding.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Might as well.
Yeah.
I mean, also, let's be honest.
I'm gonna just.
We slayed in front of FX.
Yeah, FX loved us.
And FX, beforehand, everyone, all of our friends were like, FX is a hard room, y'all. If you
FX
get them to laugh,
hates comedy. Yeah. They don't like pitches from comedians.
And it was like 6 a.m. Like that meeting.
Yeah,
honestly, that meeting was like 9 a.m. It was like first thing in the morning. The fact
it was
that
first thing in the morning, which isn't great for comedy at all.
No.
Is
no.
First thing in the morning.
But we had
but,
them in the palm of our hand.
We killed it.
Palm
they
of our
loved
hands.
It. They didn't love it enough to buy it.
No one
but
did.
They loved it. Nobody, I mean, yeah. But they loved it.
I will say, so last week I did a Barney Miller, which is streaming on Crackle, which is another place that we streamed back when they did original programming. And I'm glad that they didn't buy our show because then I would be in the pocket of Big Crackle. I wouldn't be able to hold their feet. I wouldn't be able to hold their feet to the fire with their crappy non-committal
Crackle,
streaming service. Like, just
Crackle
commit
has
and you'll be
the
great.
Worst programming. Crackle has everything that was like, it was of its time. Crackle.
Well, but like, that's what I want. Like, I want All in the Family and Barney Miller and Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie and 227. And like, they have all of these truly bizarre lineup of old shows that you literally can't even buy anywhere else.
Right.
Like, not even on DVD, some of them. So, like, damn it. Anyway, I don't need to do 2 weeks worth of crackle shaming. But y'all are also twitching and tweaking.
We're twitching. We're TikToking. We're reeling on Instagram.
Oh, wait, are y'all reeling?
We've been...
Follow us at Left Handed Radio
wait,
on everything.
I do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah.
I feel
no.
like
you
should.
Do, but I'm talking to the listener.
You
right
you
now.
Get the alerts on Instagram. I mean, it shows up in your Instagram feed. But twitch.tv/lefthandedradio. We've been live streaming, but it's not like it's elevated, as they would say in the cuisine world. we're adding little. Not little. I don't want to diminutize it, but we've been doing animated cartoon hosts playing Jackbox games. So it's, you know, something you can play together. And it's hosted by live cartoon characters, which is a lot of fun.
It's fun. It is fun.
It is fun.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, I'm keeping it low energy today. I'm like, I'm just driven.
I keep trying to adjust Adam back so we sound, so we're at the same volume.
Yeah.
And he keeps ignoring my light love taps.
Just like improv. And so it's just like improv. We were sitting in front of the Freeform execs, like, why the hell are we here? Our show is a cartoon and it does not star hot teens.
Freeform hated us. We were 15 minutes late. And no, we weren't 15 minutes late, but we were 15 minutes late
as a group, because we had a helper
and
executive with us,
and they hated us.
Yeah,
it was clear from the very moment it started. They hated us.
Was that the one where we had to sit on the couches next to them? Yeah. Like where we were all, where we all had to sit on a very cramped couch, the four of us?
Right. I think so.
Yeah.
So listeners, I've done my tour of duty in the biz.
It's not over.
There might be
another war on.
I'm gonna be selling this book at some point, hopefully. Maybe into a movie. Maybe into a miniseries. Who knows?
You should tweet about it.
I should really start the Twitter account. I should just instead of writing a book, just sentence by sentence tweet it out.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Remember when blogging was a thing?
People still call what I do blogging, and they don't understand that sounds really disrespectful what I do.
Well, journalism has changed.
Yeah. Well, it's just like people like, hey, maybe you can write about this on your blog. And it's just like, I am a journalist that writes for a news website. Like, it is like, okay. I mean, granted, I do stupid stuff. But whatever.
It's not a blog.
Sounds like a generational divide. Like, yeah, maybe the style of writing is similar to how people used to blog when, you know, you could only call journalism like
printed.
A 12-page article on Iraq. Like,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, but it does sound a little demeaning.
Yeah. Just throw it up on your blog. It's like you don't understand the hurdles I have to go through to get my various pieces about obscure Sam Neill movies published on the internet. Which I can do really. But this week on Must Have Seen TV, we're going to be traveling to September 17th, 1995, and also across the pond. Braveheart ruled the box office in the UK. Boombastic by Shaggy topped the charts in the UK.
Oh, and, fantastic.
And BBC, the BBC One, right? Or BBC One and BBC Different? Or BBC is no. BBC One? Okay.
Yeah.
And the Keeping Up Appearances episode, Hyacinth is Alarmed. Adam and Anna, you must have seen Hyacinth is Alarmed before today.
Nope.
I feel like we have. I mean, didn't you go through a period where we were watching a lot of Keeping Up Appearances?
Here's how I remember it. We found it on probably Netflix like a decade ago.
When they had stuff,
I watched a couple of episodes. I was instantly charmed. I tried to write a sketch where the punchline was just the word come, and I don't know why.
Is that related?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, it was like in her, like, I was trying to get Neil Casey to play Hyacinth, but I don't remember the sketch. The punchline was come. I think he had to be very particular about how he said the word, or there was an amount of it that he was supposed to. Anyway, it was a disaster. He immediately pegged me as the worst writer he's ever met, even though he knew me for like years before that. So I have not lived that down. So Neil, if you're listening, and I know you're not, I still am traumatized by your reaction to my really dumb half idea.
Didn't realize how much trauma was.
And then I haven't seen the show since, but I still like the show. And that's the story.
Yeah, we should probably watch the rest of it to heal this trauma, maybe.
I mean, I think we're on our way. This episode basically had everything that I remember about the show just repeated, right? Like, you
that's
already
a sitcom,
know from,
right?
from
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You already know, like, but it's amazing. You already know how it's like self-contained, in a, even though it's a, you know, an original premise for that show. You already know that she, her pet peeve is being called bucket instead of bouquet. You know her entire family, like her, her two sisters.
They don't interact in this episode whatsoever.
Are those all her sisters? Because I didn't.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The two women in the B plot are Hyacinth's sisters, and they usually show up into her life to kind of you know, ruin everything, or just be people, and she feels like they're ruining everything. But in this episode, they just have this short little self-contained B plot, and then they never come back.
What is y'all's history with British sitcoms? Because I'm honestly thinking, aside from The Office, this might be The Office, and also episodes of Are You Being Served that would air late at night on the PBS station in Nashville that I would like half watched because I was a little kid that was oddly intrigued by that very obviously gay dandy character.
It's strange you say that that about Are You Being Served, because that's one I haven't watched that I feel like is in that sort of pantheon of the great Britcoms.
I know nothing about it except that it was like the one that our PBS station played, and there was a foppish dandy that, I mean, I don't know. I always had to watch it on mute because I was afraid of my mom finding me watching Are You Being Served. God, what's wrong with me?
to answer your question, because I feel like my story is shorter, I'll go first. I think college, a professor was like, you should check out Monty Python. That's me paraphrasing. And I did. And then that led to Fawlty Towers, which also led to AbFab. I remember an improviser was like, you haven't seen AbFab, you have to. I'm like, okay. So I watched that, loved it. What else was there? Peep Show. Peep Show is one of the best shows of all time. And so those are like, I think like three musts. And then things like Keeping Up Appearances are just these like weird little gems where you watch it. Like, it's as enjoyable as like something like The Nanny or... Yeah. You know, they're just cute, but they're not, like, groundbreaking. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
they weren't
critically acclaimed.
It's just, like, well-written farce. Like, it's just, like, yeah. I have watched a lot of British TV from the 21st century, but just not anything before, like, not any of these. Except for Whose Line Is It Anyway, which was a moment.
Right.
A moment. For all of us.
A real moment.
Right. Comedy Central, right? Before or after Kids in the Hall.
Yeah. Yeah, Comedy Central had a lot of... I mean, they had Absolutely Fabulous for a bit.
Right. But I didn't check it out then. But Adam introduced me to Father Ted and tried to get me to watch The Young Ones. I'm still not there yet.
Yeah, I guess for me, like, my local PBS station had Python on it. It was always... was airing Monty Python, and then after that would either be Mr. Bean or Red Dwarf, which it's like, that's like a real, I think it's a really good variety of stuff, but like Mr. Bean kind of, you know, opens you up to Rowan Atkinson and all these other things.
Blackadder
is one of my favorite shows. I think it's does something so interesting and different that I don't think we really can do in the United States because the premise of Blackadder is there's this one prince of a king that's supposed, like, it starts as a Shakespearean based sitcom where it's about the reign of a king that doesn't exist or was supposedly killed as a young boy, but the premise is this: he grows up. He's Brian Blessed. He has two sons, and one of them is Edmund Blackadder, who's this conniving little twerp, and witches say that he's going to become king one day, and he tries his best to, you know, usurp his father's throne, and he's a little twerp, and then he's then reincarnated through different, like, not really, but reincarnated, like his ancestry is in represented in different seasons of the sitcom. Mm. Anybody who's seen the show kind of knows this more concisely than I'm explaining it, but it's really funny. And they can jump hundreds of years and do that kind of stuff.
And still do the same character, the same vibe.
Right. Because Britain has history.
Oh, yeah. You go back. Well, I mean, we have Exterminate All the Brutes on HBO.
Yeah. Yeah. So, not a lot of humor there.
Yeah. Nope.
But
we can't go back that far.
That stuff really came around for me when DVDs for home became Netflix's original model. I had a subscription to Blockbuster Online, which was their version of Netflix.
So we We should have stayed loyal to Blockbuster. Like, we just went to Netflix and was like,
why?
Fuck y'all.
Why?
Why are they? They were expensive, oppressive.
So wait, Hollywood Video, or was Hollywood Video more regional?
I think we had a Hollywood Video.
I don't know.
I always preferred Hollywood Video.
But still, none of these are mom and pop like video stores.
Compared to Netflix,
exactly.
Well, Netflix grew bigger because Netflix. It was like a good product.
Yeah.
But now, you know, who knows? Who knows what'll happen?
So that's, I think, both of us have that same sort of education in British sitcoms because first PBS, so support public broadcasting.
Right.
And then DVDs.
Support
and now kind of.
And DVDs owned by roommates.
And roommate DVD collections.
Roommate DVDs.
Yeah, but now it's like everything feels a little homogenized. I think like you probably can see the American influence in British comedy and vice versa now. Because it's so easy to see that stuff now. It's not a barrier.
Yeah.
Which is great, but it does kind of make things a little samey.
I will say, though, for you, Brett, for anyone listening who's never seen Keeping Up Appearances, when we were watching the episode, the term comedy of manners popped into my head because Hyacinth is so into manners.
Right.
And maybe not in this episode specifically, but she's upset. Like, if you see the opening, she has a bunch of books on her shelf.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all about, like, you know,
I wrote them down. The books on her bookshelf are things like,
well, like, let me just give you one example and then we'll read these later too, but like How to Win at Housework is one of the books. And like it's because she's obsessed with she thinks people believe she's upper class because her husband is like, you know, some like clerk or whatever. Like, she is lower class, right? She is 100% poor, but she is like, no, we're upper middle class. Like, it's different. Yeah. Like, you know, and it's in the same class of shows as Frasier, The Nanny.
Yeah.
You know, like aspirational shows.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, anything that's just like the high and low coming
together.
Well,
you have a butler or you wish you had a butler.
Any show with a butler.
Yeah.
But the thing about all those other shows is they actually are about rich people. Like Frasier, even though he comes from nowhere, he's a successful
fucking billionaire. Like, that apartment in Seattle is insane. But
amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
But the difference between those shows and Keeping Up Appearances is that nobody is wealthy in Keeping Up Appearances. Yeah. It's all in her messed up little head. And that's what makes it funny. It's not the difference between rich and poor. It is the cognitive dissonance in her brain and only her brain.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into it. This week on Must Have Seen TV, we're talking about the Keeping Up Appearances episode, Hyacinth is Alarmed. It is the third episode of season 5, which, like, in the UK, is huge. Series? And it was written by Roy Clark and directed by Harold Snowd. Here's how BritBox describes the episode. Hyacinth is in a sunny disposition, which mystifies Richard. The real horror of his situation dawns on him when he realizes that he has forgotten their anniversary. Anna and Adam, how Classic. Accurate is that description?
That's very accurate, but I think Anna, I think, pointed out something very important when we were watching it, was like, oh...
like, this is the only episode she's in a good mood.
Right.
Yeah.
She's always in a bad mood, she's, except for this one.
For this one. And,
my first
and
one.
That's why her husband freaks out. But she's always, you know, nitpicking and like, you know, like trying to impress the vicar or whatever, which also very British.
Yeah, vicar's like a priest, right? But like a priest you yeah. can fuck because the younger sister really wants to get with that vicar.
I think yeah. that's also. I don't think you can.
But well, no, I think an Anglican vicar you're allowed to marry.
Okay, because I was going to say, like, this is like, you know, proto hot priest, hashtag Fleabag.
Yeah.
You know, like, because he is kind of hot. He's a good looking guy.
I mean, compared to everybody else in the show who looks like, I mean, that's the other thing about British sitcoms
yeah.
is they're not hiring for looks.
No.
They're hiring if for funny.
I think Rose is beautiful.
Okay.
Yes.
But,
yeah,
and
yeah,
also the actress who plays Hyacinth, also clearly a looker in when she was younger.
Sure.
It's just funny that like, oh, well, you know, as like, she made it work. She was an older woman working on television in the mid-90s.
Get it
so
done.
So she had to, yeah, she got it done.
What are the other, so the opening credits, the theme song is like really like Donna Reed show. It's like very like twinkly, you know, proper stiff, et cetera. What are the other book titles on that shelf? And all the books fall over at one point.
Right.
Which is very
metaphor
annoying to her. Yeah, she's like very annoyed. Ugh,
the,
rolls her eyes.
Modern Etiquette, Color Me Beautiful, Always in Style, Flower Arranging, Writing Letters for All Occasions, The Daily Mail Book of Household Hints and Tips, the Complete Guide to Allergy and Intolerance,
which I thought was actually very cool. Like she not only cares how, you know, she comes across, she also wants to make sure when she serves people tea or dinner or whatever that she doesn't accidentally
kill them,
cause an allergic reaction, yeah. which is very, it's
yeah.
ahead of its time. Yeah.
And the last one is how to become absurdly well informed about the famous and infamous.
I want to read that book.
Yeah. I mean, write that book. Jeez.
That's a great book.
The first scene of the, the first scene of the episode is like, she's trying to wake up her husband because she is like, it's like Christmas morning for her, but it isn't Christmas, pointedly.
Exactly.
Or wait, what do they call Christmas over there?
Christmas.
So, but isn't there like, they say happy Christmas.
They say happy.
They do say happy Christmas. And then there's Boxing Day.
They say Father Claus? No, they say Father Christmas.
Father Christmas, Happy Christmas.
But yeah, it's Santa Claus, guys. Anyway, so she is so happy. And even as a viewer, this is my first time meeting this character. But the husband's reaction, Richard's reaction, where he's just like panicked, like, what have I done? Like, that lets me as a newbie know, oh, this is very, like, not the norm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's very smart.
Yeah, and she's also playing it so treacly and so overly sweet, where it doesn't seem genuine anyway, you know, of like, oh, this is not this character.
And she's just like waiting for the post
yes.
to come.
Right.
Because like she's convinced that there is a huge surprise gift coming.
Yeah, that is what I love about this stuff, is like, it's not Richard lying to her. She talks herself into the idea of like, oh, my big anniversary present must be coming by the mail. And
because I don't see it. And because he's clearly putting on an act that he forgot. He's pretending he forgot. He didn't wake up early.
Yeah.
He doesn't want a big breakfast because he's trying to be romantic. Like all of this... You know, self-hypnosis.
Do you think that in previous years he has gotten her a big gift? Or is this just
absolutely not.
Out of the blue this year, she's just like...
Absolutely not.
The way that this character works herself up into things, it is like she completely forgets who everybody is, what they're like. Like, she just is so aspirational in presenting an upper-class persona that she just doesn't acknowledge what her family's personality is like.
Oh, Wanda. She's a WandaVision. In her head, she's concocted this entire world, and she's just like living in that reality.
Yes.
We'll take your word for it, Brett. We still haven't seen it. Sorry. But yeah, like I said, she's completely delusional, and the entire... Like, it's watching somebody play virtual reality and nobody understands. Like, they just have context clues. They're like, oh, this is how she gets when the zombies are after
her.
Yeah,
okay, like, she's trying to grab the can of soda off the counter and it isn't.
Right.
That's the only virtual reality. I've done virtual reality and I have shopped in a bodega. and been underwater. Like, there was one where the whole point of the game was like walking around a 7-Eleven, basically.
These are very important for these unprecedented times.
I miss going to one. So at this point, when I'm watching it, I honestly was like, oh shit, am I watching the wrong episode? Because the cut to who I now know is her sister, the cut to that plot is like, all of a sudden, bam, like, we are again, like, it's a different couple. The lights are out. They're like, and I was like, wait, is this another episode starting? Wait, what? Who are these people? I honestly watched that entire scene and then I stopped it to like look. And then I saw that Hyacinth popped back on looking for the postman. So I was like, oh, okay, no, we're still in the same episode. That was just a very jarring cut to me. But the B plot starts with, what's her sister's name? The other one, not the Rose
remember.
Is the like hot one. Rose is the Blanche, right?
Yes. Rose is the Blanche.
Yeah. So like
they have different names for everything over there.
Well, yeah. Hyacinth is also a flower. So I'm gonna guess that the middle sister has a flower name.
Is she Daisy?
That might be.
Is it Violet?
Blossom.
I'm looking.
Pine cone.
Daisy. Yeah, I think
it's
Daisy.
Daisy wakes up because
I am Batman, so
she thinks that she sees like a burglar or something in their bedroom, and then her husband is just like, that is your father. And then they're like, well, he looks dead. And there's like, there's a lot of banter back and forth that I honestly can't really recall because my mind was like, what is happening? Is this a different episode?
Right.
Did the show just change?
That's fine. And remember, like, anyone watching it as it was airing would have already seen, like, you know, multiple seasons. So,
yeah, so
they wouldn't be as confused. So it's forgivable.
They understand the rhythm. Like in American television, between those two scenes, there would either be a commercial break or an establishing shot of the neighbor's house because us Americans are dumb. And
I wonder, were there ever establishing shots of any houses, or is it always just like a door and then the bedroom or then the
living room?
Yeah,
well, when
she goes
outside for a second, you see, but like, I don't know what the outside of their house looks like.
There's exteriors, but there's no establishing shots. Yeah.
Yeah. There's like, you could see the garden and you could be like, oh, those are beautiful roses. I wish I could see more of it, but then you never do. And I wonder if they just didn't figure out they could just like shoot an exterior once or an establishing once.
Yeah. And then
shoot everything on set. Yeah. But they didn't, so it can be confusing.
No wonder we won the war, revolution,
the TV war.
The TV war.
Yeah,
yeah.
the next, so like back next door, because they all live like walking distance. They're like Hyacinth is over there. She's waiting for the postman. She's, and this is where I got the inkling of like what she's actually like in other episodes, because when the postman, when the homely looking postal worker comes up, he is...
That's mean.
Well, we were saying earlier about how just like everyone on British TV just looks like actual people.
Yeah.
Fair
he
enough.
Just looks like a person. Like if it was the CW's keeping up appearances, it would be Taylor Lautner. So like the postman comes and he like starts to deliver the mail, but then he hears her coming, and then I read like he hides like she's a xenomorph. Like he's cowering around the garage, like just paralyzed with fear, and I'm like, oh, okay. That's the vibe. That's usually the vibe.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I wonder if it's all just how he's mispronounced her name in the past, and he can't bring himself to say it. He can't bring himself to say bouquet, so he's always going to be afraid of her reaction. Like, I don't... Like, besides that, I don't think she really has anything to say to him.
No, of course not.
Like, ever. I don't think... Or unless it's like, well, you know... I'm having people over and, you know, the vicar's coming and I'm making a cake and I'm doing like maybe she just talks his ear off a lot. But we don't know. This is one episode.
Yeah. I did like when she hears Bucket for the first time, the look. She like snaps like that happy, excited demeanor just like drops for a split second and she's like. Ready to go. Yeah. She's ready to rumble. Fuck this guy up.
Nothing for Bucket, huh? It's almost like internally she's going, I'm in a good mood, so I'm not going to punch you.
Yeah.
But I would if this were any other day.
I love a saucy old lady. I like that. I always like that.
The Bucket bouquet joke. What I love about that is at a certain point in the series, it's her husband's name.
Yeah.
And he says at some point, it's always been Bucket. You know, like he pronounces it Bucket. She's decided it's pronounced Bouquet.
Do they have children, like grown children or anything? Or
I was thinking about this earlier after we watched it. I don't think there's any reference to their children. They certainly don't seem to show up.
No, yeah, because like she could actually change their last name through the kids. If they grew up saying Bouquet, then like 100 years from now, there is this weird branch of the family that all says Bouquet.
Yeah.
I'm looking it up. I did randomly just discover that there's a show called Young Hyacinth.
Oh, like Young Sheldon.
Yeah. I saw that. It lasted like a season or two in my casual Googling. The next scene is with the married with children family next door, which is what I wrote. Because it is basically British married with children over there. That's when Rose comes in and she's like fed up with men. She's like, you know... She's thirsty trolling for some action. She's not getting any. The dad is convinced he's seen a ghost. And they're like, go get the vicar to like exercise. The apartment or the room. There's a like honestly, like being thrown into the deep end of this, I was just like, there's a lot going on in this one scene.
Yeah, I was sort of thinking that too when we were revisiting this. Was just like, boy, this isn't like the greatest introductory episode because they're not explaining who these people are. And I think even the first time I watched it with Anna, she had to tell me like, oh, that's the extended family. Because they just kind of assume that you'll know who these people are.
Which, you know, series five of a show, like, yeah, that makes sense.
They don't have to do that. Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry. So the middle sister, Daisy, has a child.
Mm.
That's all I found so far.
Oh, wow.
But I love this description of Rose. Hyacinth's youngest lustful sister, Rose has an eye for men and a taste for short skirts and flashy, provocative outfits.
Thank you, Wikipedia.
Flashy, provocative outfits.
In the episode Early Retirement, she reveals she was once married, though it is not stated whether she is widowed or divorced.
Wow. So when we cut back to Hyacinth, she's on the phone because she is convinced that the postal worker has, like, lost a big package. And she's calling all the way up the chain. She wants to, like... I mean, she would try to speak to the prime minister at this point. She's trying.
Right, yeah. There is that line where she's like, I'll speak to a regional manager, but I was hoping for somebody on the national level. It's like you kind of see the diluted, the lengths and depth of the delusion that she's operating under at all times, that she can speak to, like, England's Postmaster General.
Yeah. just for a missing package that doesn't exist. But when she's on the phone is when she like tells, you know, whoever she's talking to on the other end, like, well, I know I'm getting a package because it's on my wedding anniversary. And Richard is standing behind her and his reaction is so good. And
it's so,
so
funny.
He like his hand turns into this claw and he's like almost eating it. And then he's like squirming.
Yeah, he's squirming. He's trying to pull his own face off. He's eating all of his fingers. It's the most accurate pained expression I've ever seen. It could be overacted, but it's super accurate. Yeah.
Okay, I'm back. There's a guy named Sheridan Bucket. He's an unseen character. He is Hyacinth's and Richard's spoiled and selfish only son, about 18 years of age. He is away at college, a poly which Hyacinth insists is of university standard.
Oh, so he's in trade school?
I guess if that's what a poly means, yeah. It's a so of course she has to exaggerate, right? She has to play it up. The major running gag surrounding Sheridan involves him ringing home whenever he needs money. Hyacinth, without fail, assuming at first that he is just ringing his mummy despite his age, she still refers to herself and Richard as mummy and daddy. Okay.
I love an unseen character.
Who calls to ask for money.
Yeah. I mean, it's fitting. If this character's child definitely would want to get as far away from home as possible.
Yeah, could you? No. I do want to, like, Clive Swift plays Richard, and he's the standout. So I loved him.
Yeah.
What else is he in?
Well, I mean, I'm looking. Britain is so weird. Just because, like, there's so many things. They lasted like, oh, two episodes, a success, you know.
Right.
He was in a Doctor Who episode from 1985 called Revelation of the Daleks. And then he was in one in 2007 playing a different character called Voyage of the Damned. He was on a show called The Old Guys in 2009.
Oh, wow.
12 episodes. Yeah,
is he a film guy?
No, he's mostly a TV guy. He was in some film, though, but he was in Excalibur, 1981's Excalibur, and 1990's Othello. I don't recognize any of these other movies. Oh, no, Frenzy, Alfred Hitchcock, 1972. He's in that.
Wow.
But anyway, he's good. He's very good. I love
yeah.
him. So now... So this is where the episode cuts to another house that is not Hyacinth's and it's not Daisy's. And it's,
yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, wow, there's a lot going on. And honestly, like you said earlier, how they never interact. Part of me was like, are these like sub runners, like sketches within the show? And they just like, they have their own narrative that continues episode to episode and never intersects. But no, it does eventually, but that's what I thought at first.
The neighbors.
Oh, yeah, the neighbors, yeah.
Yeah, like, they're just over there doing their own thing, and we never, like, never the twain shall meet or whatever, but they do.
Well, they're talking about, like, their gossips,
yeah.
Right? And they're talking about how there's been burglaries, right? And eventually that pays off because Richard... fools Hyacinth into thinking that for their anniversary, he's getting them an alarm system, a very fancy alarm system to protect their junk.
Yeah.
So it does pay off because everybody's worried about, like, even Daisy and Rose and the father, right? They're scared because they think there's an intruder in the house. So it's like a light theme.
Oh, yeah. I do like, so after he comes up, like he hears this, Richard hears this whole, like, you know, there's a burglar on the loose. He pretty quick thinking, right? To be like, I'm going to get you a secure, which is a horrible gift. Or like, it's a nothing gift. It is neither good nor bad. It is like, it's like going to the groceries. Like, it's just
The nice thing about Hyacinth, though, is that she's just about status, but also she will turn anything into a positive.
Yeah, that's true. Because she's just like, oh, now people like will think that we weren't burgled because of our security, not because we have nothing worth stealing.
As annoying as she is, there's something really empathetic about that, right? Like, she's like, Mom, I got you this cold pizza. A pizza from the fancy shop in town? No, it's just Domino's. Domino's, the American brand. You know, like, you can see her.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there is a way that that character could have played this where she finds out it's an alarm and then she just, like, keeps a happy face on but is angry internally because she knows that he forgot, and then it becomes, like, a test of wills, like, when is the other one going to... But I like this choice that she's so committed and into the delusion that she's, like... stoked about this alarm.
I think that might be a big difference between British sitcoms and American sitcoms, is that it's the same kind of setup. I mean, like, this is a very classic sitcom premise.
Yeah.
And the way that it plays out is not how can I catch you in the lie or how can I make this lie worse. It is how can I make this situation benefit my insanity, you know, my very clear status-based insanity.
And also a lot of British sitcoms end with disaster.
Yes.
Like, it's how long can we keep this ball rolling until it explodes?
And there's no cleanup. There's no, oh, it's okay, let's hug it out, we're still a family.
Yeah, they just sit in it.
It just ends with, and your life sucks, ha ha. You'll figure it out.
This might be jumping ahead, but the episode literally ends with her doing like a Lucille Ball.
Yeah. Screaming, like, and crying.
Instead, she goes, Richard! Like,
So after he comes up with the lie, we next see him in a British phone booth. Red. So cool. I loved it. He's over there and he's calling. He's like, can someone just come over here? I need someone to just, like, I know you can't set it up today, but just, like, get over here. No. Okay. Do you have a wife? Like, I forgot the anniversary. Yeah. And then that shit gets set up. Because men know how women are, is the vibe. Mm-hmm. And then we get I love the next scene. I'm also looking at my cat Dolores to see what her deal is going to be. Does she want to? What are you doing? She's just staring at the door. Anyway, I love the next scene because it's Hyacinth bragging to her neighbor, not her sister. Right? Yeah.
Who I think is her best friend, but that doesn't mean that they're friends.
It
could be her only friend. Yeah.
She seems also terrified of Hyacinth.
Yeah.
Right.
So basically, she's just like, I'm going to be alarmed. As if that is
that's not a thing. As if that's like how you say it. Yeah.
Like knighted, you know, like. But then the euphemism, like, the friend takes it as kind of like a euphemism for, like, a sex. Like,
she does say, Richard's going to alarm me for our anniversary.
Yeah, he's like, oh, he still has? Okay. Well, then I did like that the Hyacinth did say, oh, a firm of specialists is coming in to do it. Which is, like, I love
it's just
them.
Funny.
I know, I love them. We're like, well, British humor, they're so, you know, Brits are so upper class. And it's just like, that's a joke implying that a whole firm of, like, really, like, well-to-do prostitutes are going to go in and, like, show her how it's done. Just like, you know, like, a firm of specialists are going to come in to have sex with her is what the best friend thinks.
British humor is so filthy.
Yeah, it's so, like, filthy, but we have the stereotype.
Like, historically, it's filthy. That's where they derive the humor from. It's like, look how filthy this rich person actually is. Look how stupid and foolish this jester is. You know, like, it all comes from that.
They're like, but it's not direct in the way that, like, it's very explicit or you know, gross, like, I think American humor can be sometimes.
Yeah, there's no British.
It's like a
there's no British.
It's like a filthy shadow puppet.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, there might be.
Like, it's very. It creates images in your mind.
Yeah,
but it's not direct, which almost makes it filthier.
Well, it's misunderstanding.
Yes,
it's always a misunderstanding, that's or a, it's just quiet chaos. You know it's going to happen. And then maybe they'll tease you and not show you, but you already went there. So it's fine. Like, it might as well have happened. And it's worse because it's been incepted into your brain.
Yeah.
So, and that's what I think that's why we as comedy writers always like look at the UK as like, oh, it's a higher form of comedy. It is because it's just not as like hit you over the head. It makes you work for it a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because like my husband's going to alarm me for my anniversary is like you have to like your mind has to go a little bit further because alarm is not a synonym for sex.
Like, not at all.
Well, it's like if he's going to I don't like you have to think about it.
Yeah,
you have to, like what could that possibly mean? And like just sitting here now, I'm like, he's going to like, it's going to be like scare play or something. Like, is that even a thing?
Also the way that she keeps saying it, because she's so excited and she just keeps also, she says it in a kind of like, if you know, you know, like he's going to alarm me. Like I'm going to be alarmed. I'm getting like it's that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she would never, her whole thing is like, she would be scandalized to think anyone would sexualize her in any way.
Yeah.
she thinks like, no, that's filth. Like, so everybody looking at her going like, she's talking about sex.
Yeah.
Would devastate her. She would faint. She would have to go to the hospital if she realized the implication of it. And that is what's so fucking funny about it.
Right. So they can't even respond in that sort of way either. They're also sort of trapped saying like, do you mean fuck?
So next door is where the B plot gets wrapped up halfway through the episode, right? Because like the vicar comes over and he's like, I'll do this. He goes up there. I wrote down the old dad looks like a puppet when he's on the couch.
He sure does.
It's real. He has a big head and no shoulders.
Yeah, and I don't know if he has teeth because it just looks like his mouth is flapping. So the vicar goes up, the hot vicar goes up, and he says like, "Be gone, I command you." And then a door opens, and an old lady is indeed in there, and I think it's who he brought home. It's who the old man brought home the night before.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess he forgot.
He fucked.
Yeah,
he fucked and forgot.
He hit it and quit it.
No, fucked and forgot.
Yeah.
That is the over 60s
version
of hit and quit it. Fucked and forgot. He didn't mean to. He just doesn't remember who she is.
Yeah.
Also, literally ghosted.
Yeah,
because they thought she was a ghost.
They did, yeah. Oh, what if that's where the term comes? No. So the next scene is where the security guy, the security installer comes to like scope out the house, get the specs, and he comes to the door, says, "Are you Bucket?" And then she immediately just like shuts the door in his face.
Closes the door. Shuts the door. Richard comes out and goes, Say it again.
It's Bouquet.
Closes the door. Hyacinth comes out again. And he has to go, Bouquet?
That's an insane person.
Yeah.
That is what I'm saying. This is a insane person. She's not quirky. She's not eccentric. She is mad.
Yeah.
She's off her fucking nut.
Mad, I tell you.
To be fair, if we psychoanalyzed every sitcom character, the argument would just be we are laughing at
just a ton of
neurodivergence the whole time.
Poor Joey. Poor Alf is a sociopath.
What's Joey's deal?
I mean, Joey's dumb and eats a lot.
Joey's very dumb.
He's dumb.
But he has like a flower spraldron on thing because he gets ridiculously dumb. Like season one Joey and season 10 Joey could have a show because their levels of intelligence are so different that they would clash.
Wow. He also might just have like ADHD.
Yeah. I do like that Hyacinth. So when he's like going to come in, she's like, "Take off your shoes. I don't allow alien shoes on my," and then she like names off a fancy floor.
A
detailed flooring. I actually don't know if those details are fancy or not.
Right.
It makes it funnier, though.
Yeah.
Details are funny. Specifics are funny.
Yeah.
Like the vase she keeps referring to that she needs this whole alarm system.
The Royal Dalton.
The Royal Dalton with the, was it painted?
Periwinkles.
She says, like,
painted periwinkles.
She's like, I'm going to need extra security for my lounge. And the, like,
won't let him in.
The guy's just like, oh, yeah, it'll be everywhere. Like, I don't know what to tell you. and then she's like, what I like, this one scene is such a good example of, like, game and sketch.
Uh-huh.
Because she immediately is in, like, oh, what color is it? It's just like, if then what else? And she's like, what color is it going to be? And he's like, blue. She wants a dusky pink. And she just keeps saying that over and over again. And
she wants it dusky pink because she saw it in what she called the large estate house or something like that. Or the large fancy estate that she went to visit once. And so later she even asks like the installers, like, do you have the number of that large stately house that has the dusky pink? Because I want to call them up and see what it was like. It's just like that.
Because we now have this in common, so maybe we can talk about it. But also, like, why would they know what house she went to? Like, she assumes they know because now they're connected by this color of wiring.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, those guys are very... Well, because she also wants a specific siren, too. Like, again, it heightens from, like... Well, so what is this... She asks him, like, what do you sound like? And then he, like, makes a noise. So then she's like,
what noise do you make?
Yeah, what noise do you make? And then she's like, no, the siren.
Yeah, she wants it to sound like the, like, a foghorn. I think it's the foghorn from the Queen Elizabeth II.
Yes,
like, the Q2 ship.
She keeps saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the next shot, like, we see him running away. He almost forgets his shoes. He gets his shoes in his hand, gets in his car, peels out like he's escaping the house from Poltergeist. You know?
He even looks at his shoes and goes, nah, and just drives away barefoot. Like, doesn't even want to bother putting them on in his car where he is safe.
Yeah. So then overnight, Hyacinth is like, it's our last night without an alarm. She's very nervous or something. And then, you know, Richard goes up to check on a noise, stubs his toe. The next day they come and they, the installer guys, just some blue collar dudes come to like, hook it up. And then they are also like, what the fuck is going on?
They also bail as soon as possible.
Yeah. Right.
She can never get the hint.
And then there's that scene, I think that's right after they leave, right after they bail, is she's outside and then a guy with a bald head walks by.
Yeah.
And she's like, hey, but hey, guess what? We have an alarm. So, like, so tread lightly. It's probably very sensitive. So,
not probably. It's definitely sensitive.
Yeah.
He tiptoes past and she's like, great, tell everyone to do this.
Tell all your friends.
Everybody should walk like this in front of my house.
I mean, it is a comically, like, good on that guy having no lines and really, like, making an impression because that walk was ridiculous.
Another thing the Brits do well. Yeah. Silly walks.
Silly walks.
Silly walks
it's
and
the government
turfs.
Funding.
Yeah.
Silly walks and turfs. Sorry, too soon?
No, take them down.
Too soon?
Not soon enough. Take them all down.
I can't mention Cleese anymore without saying turf. Sorry.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
But she does, like, the genius of her then saying, oh, well, I've set the alarm. It's a romantic number. Like, it's our anniversary. It's the, you know, month, day, and the last two of the year. Like, she's so, she's so happy. It's a romantic number for her romantic gift. She's really into it.
Right.
And he, of course.
We were like.
Yeah.
We were wondering how he was going to forget since it was only like a day or two ago.
I was like, he knows. How are they going to make him forget? Yes. Like, he knows what day it is today. So he knows what day it was yesterday.
But of course, we're all stupid because we don't know the year.
Yeah.
And neither does he.
And he goes out drinking.
He goes out drinking, it's a good touch, too, that he also is like a little. That drinking scene is very quick. His friend commends him on, like, getting away with it, essentially. And then, like, that scene ends with him saying, like, another round. So, like, it is a quick implication that, like, he's had a few. And then he comes home, hears a noise, the alarm goes off. What year? And it's really great timing. He puts in the four numbers, it stops for a second, he goes to another room, and then the most intense, like, the buildup was worth it. That alarm was intense.
Funny. Very funny.
Right. Do you guys think that the friend is a frenemy and he wanted him to fail? That
no.
he wanted Richard to get in trouble? Like,
I mean,
I think what happens, there's a scene prior, because he's the neighbor.
Yeah, he's a frenemy of Hyacinth, definitely.
The neighbors were watching the representative of the company go in and take his shoes off, and they were making fun of Hyacinth for doing that, and they were like, poor Richard. Well, good for Richard for pulling this scam off. You know, he just did it at the last moment. So they seem to be on Richard's side.
But they also were like, kind of like, can you believe it? Like, can you believe he pulled this off? Like,
right.
So that's why I almost wonder if it was like some sort of menacing, like, yeah, another round, please.
Yeah, I'm going to sabotage.
I mean, certainly the writers... Well, are using like, the neighbor as a vector for chaos.
It looks like the neighbor goes, this calls for another round, and Richard goes, okay, great, I'll have another one of these. And the neighbor looks like really pissed, like mad at him, like, I guess I thought we'd both be, you know, like, we'd both go up and get our own drinks, and I'm not going to buy you a drink, you know what I mean? Like, it's that, too. Like, so Richard's a little bit of a lout sometimes, too.
Don't say mean things about him, I love him.
He was, yeah, he's great. But
I saw his outfit, and I was like, Brett's now gonna.
That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, like, it was a good outfit. Okay,
it was a good outfit. I wanted it too.
Y'all vamp for a second while I let Dolores out of my office because she's clawing at my chair and trying to eat my trash.
So editing doesn't happen on this show.
No, I guess this is the magic of editing is you can take something like this out or leave it in. I guess is a choice.
Yeah.
Oh, he's swinging his arms.
Okay.
Pointing for the cat to go.
The cat understands English, and now the cat has left.
That's a smart cat.
That's a very smart cat.
Yeah. Peek behind the curtain, the cat curtain. What's going on?
Not a thing.
You have a little special cat curtain.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. Look how beautiful it is. It's all sparkly and purpley. And it's got a big cat on it, so the cats know it's for them.
Well, we do. They do currently have the other bathtub is just filled with our old bedding because we got new bedding.
And yeah, no,
the other bathtub.
Well, our only bath. Ooh, yes, our other bathtub. We only have
one.
Having
another one installed for the cats. You see. So I have seen photos, videos, photographic evidence, I should say, of your cats. Do the cats sleep in the tub?
No,
is that what happens?
They do sleep with us, but like that's their, I mean, we started calling it their clubhouse. They have an apartment and a clubhouse in our apartment. Because there's like, in our living room, there's a corner where like the two couches meet, so it forms this little like square, and we'll put their like cat beds back there, and sometimes they'll go in there, and they're just like, you know, hanging out. And
that's
cool. Their apartment. Because we put.
Do you call it their apartment or do you call it their clubhouse, sir?
No, the clubhouse is the bath. So now that the bathtub has it, for a long time, it just had bags. And then my job got a fleece throw. So I like put that in there with them. And then we got new pillows. So some old pillows went in there. And then we got new sheets. And so like, and a new comforter. So like, all that is now in the tub. It's just been added.
Did they gravitate towards the tub?
Yeah.
Or why?
Yeah. No, they would always go in the tub.
Two weird cats that just like hanging out in the tub.
Yeah. Well, the tub has never hurt them because we always bathe them in the shower. In like the
tub has never hurt them.
So they don't know to be afraid of the tub. But they also don't mind getting baths. So they're very strange.
Right.
Very strange cats.
Are you ready for some must-have facts not about my cats?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So I have no idea how many people watch this show or what the ratings are because my newspapers.com account does not go international because I don't want to pay more money. So I don't have any must-have facts. Do y'all know anything about British ratings, TV ratings?
No.
I gotta imagine, especially at the time when cable TV is, I guess it's 95, so it's probably on the rise, but I think there's still fewer channels in England than there are in America, yeah. I think, at the time.
And there's no ads, right?
Not on BBC.
So yeah. Why would they keep track?
That's also true. The rating system is really advertisement.
Yeah.
And so the BBC doesn't, I think, necessarily have to keep track of how many people are watching any given episode. Because they're going to rerun the fuck out of it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's just kind of what they have. That's the model for the longest time. And I wonder if it's still like that, where a series will get rerun.
Well, I'm sure now they have different metrics and different companies, you know, doing, like, employing Nielsen or some other variant. But in 95...
Yeah.
That's probably when it was all.
Yeah. Cause there's,
changing.
Just for anybody who doesn't know this or, you know, has no idea why that's the case, like, especially in England, citizens pay a license fee every year to get access to the BBC. And you can get, it used to be like you would get a radio license to listen to a year's worth of state radio. You could get a TV license for just television or a combination of both. And it was like, it's basically like Netflix here, except it was like a yearly fee that you paid to, you know, the government to get access to television. And the fact that it's like that anything really kind of interesting, artistic, or even funny coming out of that model, it sounds completely foreign to us. Like, how could...
But that's like
anything...
all British television is that.
I disagree,
up until
though.
A point.
Like,
yeah.
But wait, I don't understand, because, like, that's kind of the PBS model, the NPR model, in that it's not ad-supported.
Yeah, but,
right.
Like,
so,
you're not getting... Buffy the Vampire Slayer on PBS. You're not getting Baywatch on PBS. I mean, like, PBS is snooze fest.
Right, but you would if that didn't already exist elsewhere, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, cable TV, we pay basically a license. We pay a fee.
Yeah.
It's just not to the government. It's directly to the company.
Uh-huh.
And they create content that we prefer to the ad-supported content on TV, right? Usually.
Yeah.
It's prestige television, right? It's very rare that a network show that isn't a sitcom gets lauded. So we do understand that something that's not broken up by ads and is not artistically tied to keeping you glued to the TV every second... can yield different results, right?
Right, but it's still a private company in the United States. Like, HBO and Showtime are private enterprises. You know?
Yeah, but in this way, we might be too in the weeds now. BBC would just hire creators, and the creators would make those decisions. You know, like, they would clearly have private companies and citizens as production companies making, like, it's just,
but the decision making, the scheduling, the programming is basically a state-run agency. It'd be like if the post office had its own content.
Ooh. Right, and that's kind of what's messed up Cheers. About it, is that I feel like everything that we like is made specifically by people from the elite schools, which is also kind of true here.
Yeah.
Like, it's, yeah. you know... Over there, everyone in from Cambridge and Oxford, you know, got a show right out of college, and here that's the Lampoon.
Yeah, or
and it's just a writer's room.
Or just
thing.
If your parents are rich, or if your parents are already famous.
Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah, we got legacy people here.
I do know what else aired on the BBC that night, though, because there is a website that has archived all of that. So,
okay.
At 7 p.m. that night, something called Last of the Summer Wine, The Glamour of the Uniform aired.
Okay. Then, with that Nancy Sinatra song.
And then at 7:30, Challenge Anika aired.
Is that one word or two words?
Two. Challenge Anika. A-N-N-E-K-A. Cool. That's at 7:30. And then at, and this drives me crazy, 8:20. It's Hot Shots, but like this,
what, the movie?
No, let me see. Rarer, Faster, Closer, a look at the ever expanding technologies to photograph wildlife. Oh, literally hot photo shots.
Hot shots. Okay,
so like I watched all of the Circle UK season 3 as it was happening, because I had a friend that was like live streaming it from the UK. And every night, you know, we were like, it's 5 p.m. my time. But like some nights it was 5:15. Other nights it was 5 or 4:40. Like there was no consistency. And I'm like, I don't know how the Brits deal with like, just say every night at 8. What is happening? It was just change times every night.
Yeah.
And then keeping up appearances at 8:30 in the news.
News at 9.
Yeah, they didn't. They didn't really have like a must see TV, like a block of comedy. It's kind of just like a grab bag of like there's sketch shows and documentaries and news, all right. Just you know, because again, they're not trying.
What day of the week was it?
Sunday.
Oh,
it was a
weird
Sunday night show. I mean, that kind of makes a little bit of. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, but it seems so foreign to me.
Yeah.
You know,
this feels
like
a Monday night show.
Sitcom airing on Sunday. Yeah, it feels like it could be.
This is a Monday night show. This is a CBS Monday night show. Or it could be an NBC Wednesday night show.
Yeah, it's got a big Wednesday vibe.
But I liked some Sunday sitcoms. I think, I mean, Third Rock from the Sun aired there for a while. But
was that true?
Yeah.
I thought that was a Thursday night one.
No, it was on Sunday for a little while. But Sundays were always weird because they would do two sitcoms and then the Sunday night movie comes on. So you never get a real block.
Right.
Okay, so on IMDb, 170 users rated this episode an 8.2.
Hmm.
What do y'all say? Would you give it higher than an 8.2? Compared to
Sounds
who knows
right.
what?
Right, exactly. I think it's like a 7.8.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to argue with it.
Yeah, I would say...
I think it's 8 or lower. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say I started laughing a lot at the halfway point. Like, it took me, you know, a solid 10 minutes for, like, the premise to set in with me and for me to also figure out that I was watching the right show.
Yeah.
But then when it happened, I was like, okay. When they finally got to the alarm bit and all that, like the alarm, he's going to alarm me, seemed just like, great. Perfect.
Yeah.
Who had the must-see performance of this episode?
Well, Patricia Rutledge in it, she always delivers. She's always funny in it.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is what makes the show worth checking out to anybody who's never heard of it or anybody who's, like, trying to find something interesting to watch. Like, she is very funny. I don't think she's, like, she doesn't come from that sort of traditional, like, comedy background that I think we're used to seeing within sitcoms. I think she's just a actress who has had, she had a long career before the show and just has learned to do all sorts of different you know, acting within her career, she's always funny. She always knows how to play the joke.
Yeah.
But I think Richard is also such a great foil to her too. And like we said, that him just squirming.
Oh yeah.
Realizing he forgot the anniversary is just, it's so cartoonish, but it's so funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's
so relatable.
He's my standout. He's my must-see performer, definitely. Go, Clive.
I mean,
yeah.
I've nothing to add. I just want to give a shout out, I guess, to the sisters, like Daisy and Rose. They didn't get a lot to do, but you can tell that they're charming.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's something about Daisy's, like, cute little old lady smile and, like, Rose's, like, you know, bedroom eyes.
Yeah.
That you're like, oh, there's a lot of potential there.
Yeah, this felt like a consolation plot. Like, they realized, oh, these characters don't have anything to do in this anniversary plot, so here's, yeah, you know, mm-hmm, 5 minutes of screen time devoted to your dad thinks there's a ghost in his bedroom, but it's really, yeah, just a girl, yeah, being brought home.
It feels like a B plot that's probably been on the cork board for, yeah, season after season. Yeah. And it's like, well, we might as well throw it in,
it's
here.
Series five, might as well put it in there. y'all are really lucky that I have not done a stupid British accent all this time.
We are lucky, yes, I suppose.
We are the audience.
Y'all are the lucky ones, so is the audience. Hello.
Oh, I have a chimney need sweeping. Bloop. You need some
bloop, bloop, bloop.
We have a chimney.
Oh, fuck.
Somewhere.
Bloop, bloop, bloop.
You know, my favorite bloop, British catchphrase, bloop, bloop, bloop.
I don't have any money, but I can pay you in crumpets.
Oh, go great with me tea. Me tea.
Oh, can I have some?
No, it's my tea. My testosterone. That's what I call it. I drink it from a cup.
Testosterone and crumpets.
Well, yeah, men have testosterone, women have crumpets.
Yeah. That's scientifically sound.
And must other people see this episode?
Maybe not immediately, but
they
definitely
should check out the show.
And I think now that you know that there's, like, if you're listening to this and you've heard us talking about the other family, when they show up, you won't be as startled or as confused as Brett was. Yeah. Why are they in the same shot?
I think if you're not I think if you're not a TV writer, this is a good show to have on in the background. It's pleasant. It, you know, you can sort of tune in and out. If you are a writer, it's such an easy instructable. It's like you can see where the flaws are immediately and then like correct them in your own work. And you can see the brilliance of just playing with status and misunderstanding.
Yeah.
And like you don't need a lot more than that.
Yeah, it's really simple. I mean, that one scene of her with the security installer just taking him through the house was just like heightened. Everything was perfect. It was like this little made. It was great. It was really good.
I mean, that's what made The Office so popular too, right? It was just like half that show is people rolling their eyes.
Yeah, they're cringing at their boss behaving like a attention-seeking lunatic and being powerless to do anything about it.
Yeah.
You know, I think with this show, you see that the pedigree of like what British comedy, sitcom comedy writing is like, because it is that sort of like, it gets worse, it gets worse, it gets worse. And that's fine. And I think that's what I really do love about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it kind of gives you
British.
Like, it really is.
But it is also I Love Lucy.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, a lot
of
Lucy episodes,
of those, yeah,
they end with her getting caught or like her upset and crying or you know, things don't
but
work
out. But
isn't there usually
like a scene afterwards that's like, well, everything's fine, we're still in love.
That's later. Like, Lucy is like, the 1950s sitcoms are fucking wild. Spoiler alert, tune in next week. The structure's all over the map. Like, Lucy always ends like boom, and then it's credits, and then like Dick Van Dyke show starts doing more like, here's a little button, here's just something to like make you feel good. Anyway, Where can people find y'all on the internet if they want to talk to you about etiquette?
Lefthandedradio.com. Be sure to listen to our entire podcast in its entirety before contacting us about etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very simple
request.
It's very
rude if you don't.
It's very rude to contact us without listening to our entire oeuvre.
It's also very rude to listen to this episode of Must Have Seen TV and not follow us at Left Handed Radio on Instagram or Twitter or TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you happen to be on those apps, it is acceptable to not follow us if you are not a participant in social media. However, then you must tune into twitch.tv/lefthandedradio on Thursdays and sometimes Sundays to play games with us because we need the attention.
If you can exhibit etiquette properly, join our twitch.tv channel and chat along with us
properly,
in a polite, proper, respectful tone.
I will also say this. It is very appropriate. And the highest form of compliment you can pay us is to support us on Patreon at patreon.com/lefthandedradio.
Yes, that is.
For $5 a month, you can listen to Brett White in sketches that we've locked behind
A very tasteful paywall.
Oh, I was going to say a nice paywall. Golden vault.
It is a beautiful golden vault.
Yes.
/ paywall decorated in hand painted lilies.
Yes.
Painted by very talented children.
Cherubs.
But I'm also on Twitter at Adam Bozarth, and I could use the follow.
I'm not, so.
Yeah, opt out. What the hell?
If you want to hire us to make your podcast or to make animations, sure.
Mm-hmm.
We're already saying yes. You don't have to pitch us on it. We're open for business.
Please send us your etiquette.
And Brett, where can we find you?
That does it for this episode of Must Have Seen TV. Thanks again to my guests Adam Bozarth and Anna Rubinova for dropping by and talking about Keeping Up Appearances with me. Next time, I'll be discussing the Leave It to Beaver episode, Wally's hair comb. Wally's hair comb is in season 2, episode 34, and you can stream it on Peacock. Get into the beef. Until then, I want to hear from all of y'all. Follow at Must Have Seen TV on Twitter and Instagram, and let's talk about sitcoms. I'm probably not going to post a lot there, but I will answer questions because, again, as I might start saying every week, this is a one-man operation. I don't have interns to make GIFs and post photos, and I try to do that. Just means the podcast doesn't get done. Content is more important than memes. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Brett White. Please leave reviews in iTunes because, as I've said, I do have 5 1-star reviews and like 50-something 5-star reviews. But those 5 1-star reviews really get my goat. And as I've said, I blame them on QAnon and homophobes. Those are the two people giving me 1-stars only. So please go and leave a review, write a review. I love it. I'd love a written review, but also just want to tap those 5 stars. Thanks to Acast for hosting this podcast. Read the words that I write at decider.com as well. Thanks to all y'all for listening. And I will see you next time on Must Have CTV.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.